Okay. thank you, Rachel. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And it's just such an honor to be here and share my story. Although I am a little intimidated because I'm having to follow these two awesome women who absolutely just poured their heart out and really, really spoke so much to me. And I know all of you as well. And, you know, I never really would have thought about doing anything like this except for a few months ago. I gave my testimony after I sang a song, and Miss Pat Godfrey came up to me, and she said to me, "Have you ever thought about speaking at the women's conference?" I'm thinking, no, because let me just tell you, there's going to be a lot of English teachers and stuff sitting out there. And I got all this vocabulary, like, issues going on and stuff. And so I'm thinking, you know, they're probably cringing in their seats the whole time I'm talking. But you know what? I got to thinking, the Lord got to dealing with me about it. And I thought, you know what? Everybody in this room has got a story to tell. You know, your story may not be for everybody, but it will be for somebody. And so as y'all were singing that beautiful song, I thought, just like Brother Frank said not too long ago, you know, it takes a broken vessel for his light to shine through. You know, and that's what I prayed, that God's light will shine through my story. So, you know, it's funny how I kind of started going in one direction when I was thinking about, well, you know, what I want to talk about. Got it all laid out and everything. And Monday morning after my birthday on January the 6th, I'm driving to work thinking about everything and praying and talking to the Lord. And he's kind of like, "I want you to go in another direction." Well, and I don't know about you guys, but in true Karen fashion, I really start arguing with the Lord. You know, "Lord, I've already got it almost all done. I just got to polish it up," all this kind of stuff. And so I really was having a hard time struggling with it. But he said, "No, the story you want to tell maybe is for another place and another time, but not this time." So I wanted to be obedient to him. And so here I am with take two. All right. So exactly what happened to me on my birthday? Well, I have to tell you, it was ranked up there in the top five birthdays ever. It's not really something I per se could actually reach out and put my hands on, although that hot water heater I got was pretty high up on the list. I'm just saying. But it wasn't something I could necessarily touch. But it was actually the answer to prayer. A couple of prayers, things I'd been praying about. One for a very long time, and another thing for what seemed like a very long time. So God answered the prayer that particular weekend on my birthday. So before I really tell you what happened then, I kind of thought, well, I'm going to share a few hopes and my dreams when I was growing up. Now, I wanted to be every single one of these things when I grew up, all at one time. I wanted to be a truck driver. I was going to be a mechanic. I was going to be a singer. And I was going to be a wrestler. That's the truth. And then when I got a little bit older, I, of course, added in, I want to be married to my sweetheart and have 8 kids. You know, the Waltons and Natives Enough was on back then. I think that's kind of where I got that from. But anyway, that was my dreams. So how did that work out for me? Well, I did get to do some mechanic work. You know, my dad was a mechanic, an awesome mechanic. He had a shop for a little while, and I'd go down there and stay with him. And, you know, at some time, and I, of course, when he went looking, I'd be swapping some grease everywhere, wiping all over me, and, you know, walk, put the shop rag in the back of my pocket, walk around inspecting everything he did. And then when we'd go off on trips, you know, way back then, yeah, a long time ago, way back then when you stopped to get gas, you know, they wanted to, they'd check your oil for you. So of course, I'd have to hop out of the car and go around there and show the dude where to check the oil at. So I kind of feel like my mechanic dreams, you know, kind of fulfilled there. Well, what about singing? Well, I've done singing. I've done singing in church, you know. My dad, he was a member of this band. They used to go travel around everywhere. He was a member of this band. And, Yeah, I could go some places I couldn't go to, but there were some places I could go to sing. And I remember one specific time. I was probably about 15, 16 years old, and we got to play down at Central Alabama Music Park. We got to play warm-up band for Mickey Gilley and Emmylou Harris. Now, for those of y'all that's old enough to know, back then, Mickey Gilley and Emmylou Harris, they were big country music stars, you know. So we got to go down there, and oh, it's so exciting. Got to go early, got to sit out on the back porch, eat fried chicken with Mickey Gilley's band and everything. And so afterwards, they're up on the stage, you know, and they're kind of setting up everything, their equipment and stuff. Well, I'm standing at the bottom of the stage. I was standing there, and I kind of zeroed in on this one dude. All right, he was Mickey Gilley's bass player. Well, my dad happened to be the bass player about that time in this particular band. So I'm kind of zeroed in looking at him, and I think my dad kind of called on that I zeroed in on this guy because he was hot, I'm just saying. But anyway, I'm sitting there easily, I'm looking at him and staring at him, and my dad comes over and stands at with me, and I think Mickey Gilley's bass player kind of called on us staring at him too. So he kind of comes over and he leans down a little bit and he wants to talk a little bass talk with daddy, you know. My daddy looks over at me, he's like, "Scooter, what you think about all of that?" Man, I look up at Mickey Gilley's bass player and I said, "He's almost as good as you are, daddy." Of course, he dies laughing, and my dad almost dies 1,000 deaths right there. So, yeah, I feel like that's been a little bit fulfilled. And then what about that dream of being a wrestler? Well, you guessed it. I got to do that, too, because this guy was following me all the way home from East Highland, 7th, 8th grade. What's he doing? He's talking about my mama. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Here's the thing. I think he secretly liked me. Mm-hmm. But let me give you a news tip, dude. If you want to be on my good side, you better not be talking about my mama. Mm-mm. So I got up to Main Avenue Light, and I'd done had enough of him one day. And I threw my books down, got him in a headlock, did Mr. Wrestling Number 2's million-dollar knee lift on his knobby head, and dream has been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. My papa was very proud of me that day. Yeah. What about a truck driver? Y'all, I think that was kind of more like a nightmare I was having that night. So I skipped that one. And then I get to this sweet, sweet dream of marrying my sweetheart till one of us lays the other one to rest and having 8 kids. You see, for most of my young growing up life, I didn't even know God on a personal level. Much less anything about waiting on him. My parents, they were very, very, very good. Very hard-working, honest, truly give their shirt off your back if you need it. They were that good people. I loved and respected them both so very much. But the truth is, we didn't go to church. We didn't pray. We didn't talk about God. We didn't do any of that stuff. Now, it's not that they didn't know God. They knew God here. But they did not know God here in their hearts. So that was not something that was important for us. But God seemed to always be putting somebody in my path. You know, I went to church sometimes with my aunt and uncle. My uncle, he was a preacher. I'd go with them sometimes. I'd go with some friends. I'd go with some people I worked with, you know. So, you know, God was always putting somebody in my path. But the honest truth is I was just one very, very confused little girl. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, it's kind of like right here in my journey that God kind of rerouted me and told me, I want you to go in another direction. But I do have to say this part, that all of these things during this journey that I'm skipping, they were very difficult years, as most of us have in here, you know, difficult years. I had a whole lot of responsibility placed upon me at a very young age. Started working very, very young. By the time I was 14, I was pretty much working a full-time job and trying to go to school. By the time I was 15, I had two jobs and was trying to go to school. My dad drinking, just all kinds of different things that was happening, and it was just a perfect storm. Brewing. All these years kept brewing. And by the time I was a senior in high school, that perfect storm had reached a very high peak. And it pulled on me so hard that that very storm almost cost me my life. And so it was this very broken and damaged girl that I was when I met that man of my dreams. You know? So I met Michaela's dad when I was about 19. Now, I say Michaela because my husband that I'm married to now, his daughter is also named Kayla. Well, he didn't want to have to run around saying, well, my Kayla, you're Kayla, you know. And so I called her and I said, do you mind if I call you Bree, nickname you Bree, as part of your middle name? And she was so gracious about it. And, you know, it was just that sounds like a good plan. And so she's our Bree to us. So when I talk about Kayla here, I'm talking about my daughter, Kayla, as the purpose of this story. So anyway, I remember that I met my Kayla's dad was about 19. We worked at the same place. Y'all, I didn't know you get so dry up here when you're talking. But anyway, man. I was like, geez almighty. But anyway, so I met my Kayla's dad when I was about 19. And we worked in the same building and everything. Well, my mom always used to say, well, just go up and talk to him. I was like, oh, he's nothing but old Birmingham city slicker. He ain't going to want to have nothing to do with anything I had to say. But we did start talking. And we dated a couple of years, and we eventually got married. Now, you know, as confused as I had been spiritually, I had gotten saved as an older teenager. Very real experience to me, and I knew that God's hand was upon me. But, you know, I really had no guidance whatsoever or anything. So really, honestly, I didn't know I was supposed to be praying about this man I'm supposed to be marrying. Didn't know I was supposed to pray to God and ask God for his direction on that. You know, and so Kayla's dad at this point in our journey, he was not saved either. Well, he wasn't saved. I was saved, but he wasn't saved. So anyway, you know, God had his hand upon us, of course, and we decided to go and join this church. Well, we didn't just join any little church. We joined this huge church, probably about 2,000 people in this church. And so, you know, here we are. We're going along in our journey, and we start to have problems. And get involved in this big Sunday school class, we start to have problems. And then right in the middle of all this, I am told by this doctor that I may not ever be able to have children. I was like, well, okay, whoa, hold up just a second. Now, I say I want to be married to my sweetheart, to one of us ladies, the other one to rest and have 8 kids. And now I'm having marital problems. And now you're telling me I probably won't even have one child, much less the 8 that I want. Lord, were you not there when I was dreaming? That's how I felt. But this lady, I do not even remember her name, but man, I see her face in my mind, and I see her face in pictures of Kayla's baby shower. And she knew we were having problems, and so she directed us towards this guy that was a member of this big old 2,000 church, and he was a Christian counselor. And so she introduced us to him, and, you know, we started going, and you know, thankfully, I had gotten pregnant. I'd gotten pregnant with Kayla, and I'm about 4 months along. It's Christmas time, supposed to be the most exciting, happy time of your life, right? But what happens? He leaves. And so here I am. I'm pregnant and alone. I am devastated beyond words. I'm scared and I'm confused, and honestly, I do not know which way I'm going to turn. So she has introduced us to this counselor, and his name is Dave, and Dave was one of two men who were extremely influential in my life and changing my life. The other one was Brother Tommy Reeves. He was my pastor, friend, mentor. Man, if I could just stand up here and tell you all the things that he taught me along the way to help me to grow in my journey. But I don't really have the time for all that. But anyway, he was very instrumental in helping me to grow. But Dave was the first one to start the journey. All right, so here we are going to this counselor. And, what happens here is that nothing really changes for us, you know. And so Kayla's dad had come back home just before she was born. And so a week after she turns a year old, he just decides, you know, that this is not the journey that he wants to continue on. Now, I could stand up here and say, well, it's all his fault because I wanted to continue the journey. But it's not all his fault. No. Mm-mm. We both were just two very, very damaged people at this point in our journey in life. So after this divorce, I moved back from Birmingham, moved back to Sylacauga. I'm feeling like a complete failure. Of course, I always feel like that. The enemy of the devil, right? The enemy is always making you feel like that. Feeling like this complete failure. God must be ashamed of me. You know, I have no value. And what do I start to do? I start to mimic that very lifestyle that I grew up in. Yep. I start to drink. I get up in the morning drinking. I go to bed drinking. Something I said I would never, ever, ever, ever do. And yet here I am. I'm learning to be just like my daddy, my sweet, sweet daddy, a functioning alcoholic. That's what I'm going to be. Yep. But something inside of me says, call Dave, that counselor Dave, call him, Karen. And so I did call Dave. And here's the beginning of my two-year journey with him. 2 years, and he walks me through this study by Robert S. McGee called The Search for Significance. And Dave, he really helped me to see how I had a very, very distorted image of who God really, really was. You see, a lot of times we look to our heavenly father through our earthly father, right? Okay? Well, you know, I had this very distorted image of who God was because here I am looking through my sweet, sweet human daddy who's an alcoholic, okay? Sweet guy, but, you know, always waiting for it to happen again. You know, sometimes he'd be drinking and then sometimes he wouldn't. And I was always running out the front door to go run around, look in his car, look up under the seat to see if there was liquor laying there. Because then I knew we were starting again. That's how I was thinking about my Heavenly Father. I didn't realize it at the time, wondering when he was gonna, you know, what was gonna happen to me again. But I was very, very close to both of my parents, you know, and so, but my dad. Oh, my daddy. Man, we were the same. We thought the same. We felt the same. We were just cut from the very same mold, you know? And so I had to find a way to look past my daddy and see who the Heavenly Father really was. And guess how you do that? Scripture. Where he reveals himself to us in Scripture. And I had to start getting in and learning some Scripture. This study that I walked through with Jay also taught me about learning how to be free to enjoy Christ's love. Oh, my goodness. He said, don't base your self-worth on your accomplishments or opinions of others. Well, my goodness, I think I'll be doing that till the day that I die. It's constantly a struggle sometimes. Robert McGee's book talks about four false beliefs in performance, approval, blame, and shame. Okay? Well, let's talk about my performance because it wasn't any good as far as I could tell. I have a failed marriage. I'm on the verge of becoming an alcoholic. And as far as being any kind of Christian, well, I can only really quote you really one verse. Well, I mean, wait, make that two, because I did know John 3:16, okay? But I had this one verse that had spoke to me. It resonated in my heart. And I said it all the time over and over and over again. And I picked a good one, too. I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I will lean not unto my own understanding. In all of my ways, I will acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know most of you in here know it. Every single time I left Dave's place, you know, I'd already been in there squalling my eyes out the whole time. You know, I'm a little embarrassed, you know, because the whole time I'm crying. And he always walks me out to my car, and like I normally do, I try to crack some kind of joke. And I'm not funny by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm trying to crack a joke or something. And you know what? All he does is he throws his head back, and he laughs. He looks over at me. You know what he says? Karen, you amaze me. You are such a survivor. Well, I don't do compliments too well, so I just skedaddle on back to my car. I start driving to Sylacauga, and you know what? I start thinking, he's right. I am a survivor. Yes, I am a survivor. You know, I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized it years later. Do you know what he was doing? He was reprogramming my stinking thinking. And that stinking thinking is exactly what was coming in between me and growing and knowing the Lord on a personal, intimate level. All right, that 24, 25-year-old girl, I started learning from then that it's a lifetime progress, isn't it? Something I'll always be working on. I'll tell you another thing I started learning as I've gotten older. Why is it that we think if we haven't memorized 15 verses and read 5 chapters and understand everything there is to know in 2 weeks' time, then we got to be failures? No, we are not failures. This journey takes time. It takes steps, baby steps, one step at a time. And we have to wait upon the Lord as we walk this journey, staying in his word, waiting on his very, very best, and then we move closer to him. It takes patience. Hey, Kim Jones. I just said that P word right up here on this stage. Kim and I, we used to teach Sunday school class, these girls, and we told them, we said, let me tell you something, we ain't praying for no patience in here. Because the last time I did, I got divorced. I ain't praying for patience no more. No, sir. Mm-mm. Now, if y'all want to, we can pray for some wisdom. But we ain't praying for patience. As a matter of fact, we only gonna call it the P word in this room. Yeah. Guess what I learned? You want that wisdom and discernment? Guess what you gotta have? You guessed it, the P word. Patience. You got to have patience and perseverance, right? You got to keep moving. And when you keep in his word and you stay in prayer, you move a little bit at a time, closer and closer to the Lord. Well, I did eventually get remarried again, and I did pray about it, spent a lot of time in prayer. I got remarried again when Kayla was 4. And we were married 16 and a half years. And for whatever reason that I truly will never understand, really, he left too. Now, I want to say this. I mean this with all of my heart, with all the sincerity in my heart. I would not stand up here and say it. I can promise you I wouldn't. I have nothing but the utmost respect for both of these men. They are very, very good men. They both have a very strong walk in the Lord now. This is not a story about that. Mm-mm. This is only a story about God's faithfulness to me. Frankly, it's just about Him growing me up, right? So here I am at this time. I'm really devastated and rejected right now, right here, okay? Dark, lonely days. Before I had Kayla, had constantly think about Kayla, take care of her, but now I don't have anybody. She's a senior at Jacksonville, fixing to move off to St. Louis, so I'm really all alone now. But I'm going to tell you something through this part of this valley. Man, the Word of God comes alive in my life. Man, like it never had before, even in all those years to teach Sunday school. Man, I walk by my refrigerator, and there is Hebrews 13:5 right up there, and it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you better believe He didn't. And I'm going to tell you, He starts talking in John 14:27 about that peace He gives to you, not as this world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Man, I felt that peace like I'd never felt before in my life. Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord will fight for me. All I got to do is just be still. Man, that's so hard to do. But I had to learn. Be still. Wait on His very, very best. All right? Then I started listening. I came across the scripture one day in Mark 8:18. It said, do you not have eyes that see? Do you not have ears that hear? And do you not remember all I've done for you? Oh, yes, Lord. I remember it all very well. And thank you, good and bad. Thank you for that journey. And every time I start to go through something new now, you know what I do? I think about Psalms 139:23-24. Man, so powerful. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. You see, all of these things that brought me to my knees would only serve to draw me closer to the Lord if I allowed them to. Because we got two choices. What Dave told me, you can stay on that merry-go-round, that same merry-go-round that you've lived in all your life, rejected, defeated. You can stand right there in that merry-go-round and pass it on down, generation to generation. Just keep on. And you can step off, make a new life, better life for yourself, grow closer to the Lord. And man, that's what I meant I was going to do. I'm going to step off and I'm going to make a different life for myself and for my daughter. You know, if you guys do not think, we've already talked about this morning, that we're not in a spiritual warfare, let me tell you, think again. And Charles Stanley, you know how I love you. All of this on Facebook with me. Y'all know I'm cheering old Charles Stanley every morning. Charles Stanley is my favorite. And what does he say? He says that spiritual warfare starts right here in your mind. There's his battlefield. And what do you got to do? Got to take it captive. Got to stay in God's Word. Stay in prayer. You know, stay under submission to the Holy Spirit and allow it to lead and guide you. Allow the Jesus just to penetrate that. And then he also talks about that. Man, I like this one now. Second, he says that Satan tempts us in our most vulnerable moments. Charles Stanley says, let me give you this little acronym. He says, HALT. H-A-L-T. Don't act when you're too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. I was like, geez almighty, I might as well just stay in bed all day. I mean, I'm always too hungry, angry, lonely. If I'm not tired, I'm tired of it. I'm just saying. So, you know, the devil, what's he doing? He's always working very hard, isn't he, to bring us down. That's what he does. And Charles Stanley talks about, you know, the devil, he can't read our thoughts. He's not omniscient like the Lord is. He can't read our thoughts. But what does he do? He watches our actions. I mean, we're only human. He watches how we react. He watches what we say. So what's he doing? Let me get all these things. Let me say, I'm going to fire. I know she's got a weakness. Where is it? Let me fire. Fire and fire and fire and fire away. And then we react. Like we're going to do, we react. And what does he say? Aha. There it is. Let me get my new round of arsenal. And guess what I'm going to do now? Focus in on that one area. And I'm going to fire away over and over and over again till I can weaken her. Man. And you know what we got to do? We have to got to stay in God's word. You got to stay in prayer. Seeking God's face on this. And another thing, just like these ladies have said, you got to surround yourself with good friends. Good, godly friends. There's strength in numbers. Don't do this alone. I look out here, I see all kinds of friends that I've talked to at times or one time or another. But man, I got a nucleus of friends right back there that all I got to do is send a text. And they're right there gathered around me, praying me on. They're correcting me when I'm wrong because they're not just yes friends. They correct me when I need correcting. They celebrate with me. They go through the trenches. They've been with me there when I've been on my face in a fetal position. They've been there with me, and they have been with me high on the mountaintop. I'll never be able to thank God enough for them. Surround yourself with friends. And you know what? One more thing. These ladies have said this also. Brother Tommy used to tell me you got to hear something at least 10 times before you can retain it. So I'm just repeating it. Don't let yourself get too busy. Okay? Because guess what? If Satan can't get you to be bad, he'll certainly get you to be busy, won't he? Yes, he will. So, what about that last dream of mine? How did it end up? Well, I had my daughter Kayla, and she's like having 8 kids rolled up into one. Oh, I say that. I always kid about that because she is a pistol, I'm going to tell you. I've learned so much from her. She taught me how to be stronger. Yeah. She's taught me about love. Yeah. You know, she's living her dream right now. Since 7th grade, she's a very, very determined young lady. And since 7th grade, she's always wanted to be a homicide detective. And so now she's living in St. Louis. She's a St. Louis police officer. And guys, I could not be more proud of my baby girl. I couldn't. She is the very one I prayed for. Growing old with that one husband until one of us laid the other one to rest. That didn't quite turn out like I wanted it to, did it? No. And after my second marriage had ended, I told my friends, I ain't never, ever, 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 did you hear what I just said? Ever dating again. Not going to get married, and I sure ain't dating. No, mm-mm. But old matchmaker Jan said, been about 3 years, and she said, you know, we want to go out and eat lunch after church one day with me and Billy. You see that guy standing right over there? He going to go too. I was thinking, well, I am kind of lonely. It'd be nice just to have somebody to hang up with, but let me get this clear. We're not dating, okay? He sends me a text that Sunday before supposed to go out and meet after church. And, they want to meet and want to, break the ice a little bit. Man, I looked over at my friend Darlene. I said, well, I ain't brushing my hair and I ain't changing clothes because this ain't a date. That's what I tell them. We ain't dating. Mm-mm. So we meet that night and we close that place down. I knew right then God had sent me a very sweet, sweet blessing in my life. And He has been. He has blessed me so much. Yeah. And you know what else I got? I got me a bonus son, the sweetest bonus son, and his name is DJ. And I got me the sweetest, most beautiful bonus daughter named Kayla, who I call Bree. And her husband, my sweet son in love, Brian. A couple of years after that, the icing on top of all that sweet cake, I've been given the honor and the privilege to be grand to two grandsons. Oh, God has been so very faithful to me. Don't give up, my friends. Don't ever give up. So what happened to me that morning of January the 6th, my birthday? Let me tell you what happened. And this may seem insignificant to you, but for those of you that have older kids and they live far away and you don't get to wrap your arms around them too often, I got a FaceTime call from Kayla. And we spent a long time talking about a lot of stuff. Things I'd been praying about for quite some time that I wanted to talk to her about. And man, did my heart so good. I needed it. And I think she needed it too. And I had no more hung up the phone with her. And then I get this sweetest little text from Bree. And there's Samuel singing, "Happy birthday, dear Graham." And Sawyer's kicking his feet and tuned to his brother. Ah! And a hot water heater to bonus. All I could do, guys, I walked in my room and I got down on my knees and I said, "Thank you, Jesus, for this blessing in my life." Don't give up, my friends. Don't give up. As I close, I want to share with you this song. God brought it to me in the very darkest nights of my life. You know, they always say it's darkest right before the dawn. I believe that to be true. And He brought this song, and that night He reminded me of a friend of mine. We had worked together at Captain D's when I was young. And then He brought us back together again all these years later when I worked at the bank. And we worked at the bank for a long time together. She was at the very end of her journey. She knew it. We knew it. And so us family at the bank, we wanted to just take something up to her and give it to her. Just say, "Hey, we love you. We're praying you through. We're here with you every step of the way." And I know it's part of God's plan that they nominated and they asked me to take that to her. So I'm standing there beside her, talking to her, thanking her for so much for her witness. And she looked at me and said just these words that was so profound for me. She said, "Karen, I do not know why God has given me this burden to carry. I just pray I carried it for him well. I laid there that night and I thought, yes, God, may this always be my prayer. May I trust you with all of my heart. May I never give up again. Never. May I never go back. May I wait patiently on your very, very best. And no matter what, God, may I carry it for you well, because you've been so very, very faithful to me.